Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
We're kicking off the second hour of the program. As always, you're invited. If you want to join us here, the toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. We're talking about a business owner that shut down his restaurant because of the government mandates, the government mask mandates. Now, New Hampshire doesn't have a so-called mask mandate like you would think. Like, a lot of states have a mandatory mask thing if you're out and about doing business or whatever. New Hampshire doesn't have that, but it does have a set of so-called guidelines that they have forced upon all business owners. And those guidelines, specifically for restaurants...
Are those still in effect?
Yeah.
Okay.
From what I understand, because this guy's shutting down.
There was a date. They were supposed to be good for a certain until a certain date.
Some of them have rolled
expired,
back.
Expired, and then they some I thought got rolled back.
So they've changed them over time.
Yeah,
so
I'm curious what's still in effect.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But there's still the mask so-called requirements / guidelines, and that's one of the things that is a good question. Is like, well, is like, the term guideline doesn't suggest that it's a mandate, right? Like, there's a difference, right? A guideline is a thing that you could follow if you wanted to, but you don't have to. At least that's my understanding of the word guideline.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of get the impression that the way it's worded is that you have to follow the guidelines, but not every single one 100%.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Right, and right? I totally get that.
The state... obviously is going to be of the position that you should follow everything.
But that's not even possible based off of the lists I've seen of stuff that's required. And some of it doesn't even make sense depending on the business or whatever.
A lot of this stuff doesn't make sense. A lot of it is counter and is hurting
it's like
these businesses.
You can't, I don't even know, like if you don't have a... I mean, I can't even think of what's in the specific guidelines, but at the moment. But if you don't have a drive-through window, you can't like put a shield up. If the rule is you have to put a shield up on your drive-through window, if you don't have a drive-through window, right?
Well, obviously that wouldn't apply.
Yeah, I don't think that.
Obviously they're not going to make you put
not applicable.
Yeah, it just won't apply to your business.
Well, okay, but I'm saying it's still like there's a list of things, and not everything is going to.
Well, whatever they can apply to you is what they're going to apply to you.
Yeah.
And so anyway, this restaurant owner, he's shutting down completely because he's not going to follow their mask mandate. And according to the rules that I've read, their so-called restaurant guidelines, says that customers have to, or customers should, I think the word they use is actually should, if I recall correctly in their in the wording, wear a mask while in the restaurant, walking from the door to their table, walking from the table to the bathroom and back. But that at the table, they're allowed to remove the mask, unless you're in California, in which case now they're telling people they have to keep the mask on in between bites.
Yeah, they've got to keep the mask on.
They're actually saying that there. And somebody saw it happening here in Keene the other day. Not that it's a mandate.
Wait, what?
Or no, it wasn't in Keene. It was in Walpole, apparently. There was a couple at a restaurant there that was eating and kept pulling their masks up between bites.
Wow.
Yeah, they looked like they were on a date or something like that. So the restaurant owner, one of the co-owners, Mr. Bodge, says, quote, "We decided the time was to take the stand right then." And what he means is when the state attorney general's office called and asked him whether or not they were wearing masks or requiring customers to wear masks. And he said, we're mask-free here. And they said, well, now we don't have to do our investigation. We are going to rule that you are in violation and you need to stop being in violation and start enforcing masks on your customers as of Monday. And he said, no, we're just going to shut down. He said he can't wear a mask due to anxiety. This is, by the way, the story from MSN.com. And that other members of the staff also suffer from illnesses that prevent them from wearing a mask. He said he wears a mask in places that require them, like the grocery store, but that his anxiety is triggered when that happens. NBC News was not able to immediately verify if there were any medical exemptions for restaurant workers in New Hampshire. Requests for comment to the New Hampshire Attorney General and Governor Chris Sununu were not immediately returned. However, the New Hampshire Lodging and Restaurant Association reported that the state has COVID-19 guidance requiring restaurant employees in direct contact contact with customers to wear face coverings. Bod said the decision to close has no financial component for him, and that he's willing to close for as long as it takes until he can reopen the restaurant without masks. Bod said the restaurant is run exclusively by members of his family, and so the closure has not resulted in any layoffs. Since the story of the restaurant shutdown went public, Bod said he and his co-owner have received death threats, but they're not concerned because they believe in the Second Amendment. He says, quote, I do open carry and I'm not afraid. I don't live with fear. I'm not going to live and be afraid of what might happen. I live for today, hope for tomorrow. That's kind of my motto.
Kind of so interesting.
I that, like this guy.
It's kind of interesting his that he has anxiety, some sort of anxiety disorder, while also not being afraid.
Right.
Like, you would think that those would be contradictory.
I don't understand.
Nature, but I'm not going to question
anxiety.
It.
I don't understand it. If people want to comment, they're welcome to join us here at 855-450-FREE. But I got to say, I appreciate this guy. I like where he's coming from. I like the attitude. I just wish he'd take it further. Now, obviously, it's not my business. I don't get to say, right? Yeah. I'm just the guy on the radio who is criticizing people who aren't doing what I want to see more people do, which is refuse to obey these people. Let them bring the fine to you. Let them, seize the license. The thing is, one of our one of our chatters in the On Air Now chat, calling himself the real Christopher Cantwell, he says New Hampshire is serious about restaurant licenses. If you don't have one, it's a misdemeanor for the first offense, and then a felony after that.
Wow.
So, what would happen?
Is that only if you're a corporation, or is it normally? Because
I don't know. I don't have the...
What does that have anything to do with whether or not...
Well, the reason I ask is, for example, the massage statute, which I used to date an unlicensed masseuse, and the massage statute... she said something similar to me, and I looked at the license, or at the statute, and it turned out it was, the second offense was still a misdemeanor if you were a natural person, but it was a felony if you were a corporation.
Why does it happen?
That is interesting.
What does it mean when a corporation gets found guilty of a felony?
Very little. I think that's why they make it a felony for corporations, because you can't put a corporation
in jail. Right.
You
could
board.
Execute it by revoking their charter.
Well, hold on.
But I've never heard of them doing
that. They can still take the owners of the business of the corporation and throw them in jail.
But do they?
The owners or the stockholders?
It's a good question. Managers, owners, it probably would depend on the specific business.
There was a headline, I think, this week about the company that makes OxyContin. Now, I didn't pull the article up, so I have not read anything more than what I heard on the radio during a newscast. But the company that makes OxyContin, one of the most addictive painkiller drugs out there.
It's actually one of many companies that make it.
True.
That you're talking
about. But I believe this is the brand name, the company behind OxyContin. They were found guilty. The company was found guilty of, I think, three felonies. And they're, of course, being fined oodles and oodles of, billions of dollars. But I didn't hear anything about any jail time for any CEOs or boards of directors or whatever. I didn't hear anything about any kind of punishment in that way.
Yeah, I mean, so what they can do and what they do are sometimes different, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they probably would need to attach, any kind of jail time would have to be attached to somebody who was responsible for that. And they probably have to prove that in some way also. So that's probably why I suspect anyway that there wasn't like jail time for anybody. They apparently couldn't prove, a specific person was responsible for it or something.
Let's go to Gene. He's the Christian anarchist on our call-in lines on the Matrix server. Go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I would do a little update on COVID since I haven't done that the last couple calls. From the front lines, we are currently seeing less and less COVID positive patients. We're not having, and I'll tell you honestly.
Wait a minute, Gene. Wait a minute. Didn't I just see a news headline at the top of Drudge Report that this is now the peak so far of the COVID infections?
Yeah, they're lying again. I don't know how they get away with just out-and-out lies.
Well, notice they're not saying it's the peak of deaths. They're just saying it's the peak of tests.
Maybe a lot of people are testing positive. That doesn't even mean you're sick.
That's what they're saying, yeah. A lot of people are testing positive. Hang on, you're working there at a doctor's office. You're a manager. Stand by. We'll bring you back here in moments more with Gene, the Christian anarchist, on the COVID situation. You can also bring up anything here on Free Talk Live.
Divi's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divi's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DiviProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DiviProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DiviProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org. News from news.com. Bitcoin.com. $9 trillion, a third of the U.S. debt, has been created just since September 2019. The Bank of China's new digital currency has been used in more than 3 million transactions, worth more than a billion won. Still nothing from the U.S. Federal Reserve's digital currency. John McAfee indicted for tax evasion and SEC violations. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Doodle, Stuart, Harold, and Porkchop. Porkchop, this beautiful blonde coat, is very thick. He's an Akita, German Shepherd, Lab, Husky mix. They did a DNA test on the 4 rescues. The first year is just a complete retraining. Lots of love, discipline, and daily upkeep. I'm a registered nurse and a personal trainer. If I eat healthy, then my dog should eat healthy.
DinoVite.com.
They need the vitamins and minerals that Dinovite provides.
Dinovite is nutrition.
Harold, Border Collie Pit Mix, has the most beautiful jet black coat. Stuart, my rat carrier, has fur now where he never had it before. Doodle, he's a poodle cocker spaniel. His energy is tremendous. The Dinovite will make your dog happy, vivacious, jump up and down, wag their tails. It will make you smile.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite at DinoVite.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
You can bring up what you want right here. Toll free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We continue here. Your calls and thoughts are welcome with you in the studio tonight. You've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris.
All right, we're going to go back to your calls. We got Gene the Christian Anarchist. He's on the line on our Matrix server at chat.lrn.fm. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, of course, I can't speak for the whole country. Obviously, I can only speak for our general area and just mainly our clinic and the doctors that we know around us. And but I can tell you that in our experience, people getting COVID are not getting very sick. And we don't normally test people who aren't showing symptoms. So we don't do asymptomatic testing unless they come in saying they need a test result for a travel trip or something like that. Then we'll do a test. So, but of the positive tests we're getting, and typically those are usually people that are showing symptoms, they're not getting very sick. And what we're having, an interesting thing that we're seeing right now is people coming in with symptoms. We don't force them to do a test. We give them the option of doing a test. And more people are opting out. They don't even want to know if they've got COVID because they don't want to deal with the hassle. So a lot of our patients are going home untested with symptoms and with medicine, and they're getting well in a few days and going on with their lives. So do they have COVID? I don't know. And I really don't care. I know that of our employees, hardly anybody has gotten COVID, and the two ladies that have gotten COVID, one got it from her husband, another got it from a friend of the family or whatever. They didn't even get it from working in a doctor's office, seeing with COVID patients going in and out all day, or, you know, assume.
Now, how would you know
where
they got it from?
They told me.
But how would they know?
They told us. Well, one got it from her husband. Her husband got sick with COVID. And then she got sick with COVID.
I mean, it seems likely safe to believe that that would be the case, but it could have been the case that some customer coughed on
them
or whatever.
It could have. It could have. However, in both of these cases, these two ladies both work up in the reception area, so they don't actually work closely with patients. They're, behind a divider.
And, I see.
So they're not that close to the patient.
Gotcha.
But all of our nurses that are hands-on with patients, none of them have even gotten sick or come up positive. So this thing is not the bubonic plague, people. Yeah. We're not all
going to drop dead. If it was, we'd have our friends dropping dead nearby us.
I definitely know we've got not me personally, but Bob's cousin, actually, she works. She's a surgeon, I believe it is. She's the assistant to the surgeons.
Where is this, Massachusetts?
Yeah, so she's like, I guess she'd probably be like a nurse of some kind. And
she's the lady handing the doctor the scalpel and the
pliers. Yeah, exactly. And she says that there have been five or six people that she knows that have gone who have come back tested positive.
Mm-hmm.
But what is interesting in that case, this is in North Carolina.
But how many of them were sick?
So I don't think there's been any serious complications or anything from that I'm aware of. But these are probably also, young, healthy kind of age people. It's interesting that they're not having, at least where she works, even if she was sick, she would still have to come into work, apparently, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is.
These guidelines that say, if you've been exposed, you have to do this, that, and the other thing. But what about us our healthcare workers? Our ladies are technically exposed every time they see a patient who's got the a test positive. And they don't go home for 10 days every time they see a patient that's tested positive for COVID. If they did, we couldn't keep the doors open. We couldn't see anybody.
Medical care would get awful expensive if you could only see a patient once every 10 days.
I do feel like it's kind of bizarre that you have nurses that are coming down with COVID and they're still being told to come into work. While at the same time, when I went, I got tested, and because I did come down sick, probably not with COVID, and I didn't think I had COVID, but nonetheless, I got tested for COVID and like strep throat, okay, and they both came back negative. Anyway, so it was probably just like, I don't know, pollen in the air or something like that. Anyway, but it was interesting because I got tested and it came back negative, kind of like I expected. But the thing that I was told was effectively, okay, stay home for 3 days, you know, and then, if it comes back negative, you know, you can go out. If you don't,
yeah, I don't know about
stay home for 10 days.
And I don't know about healthcare workers coming to work when they're sick, because our girls, when they were sick, they stayed home until they were better mm-hmm. and until they tested negative. So,
okay.
I wouldn't think it would be a good idea to allow people who are positive to come, positive and showing symptoms, come in and treat patients. I don't think that would be good.
So let me back up a second. So I'm assuming that she probably meant if you're not feeling sick, come in, even if you test positive, not if you're feeling sick.
Right, because testing positive can just mean you have the antibodies, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that right, Gene?
It depends on the test. There's two different kinds of tests, and one is an antibody test, and that one people can show positive for months after the disease.
Right.
And then they've been running that test in too many cycles, so each cycle concentrates the sample, and some people are running that concentration 40 times, and that's way too many times.
That's because they want to get a positive result.
Right. And I guess I don't know a whole lot about testing, but I understand 30 is more like it, maybe even 28. Some countries are doing something like 28 cycles on that test for concentration. And if you're not positive by that point, then you're considered negative. But we're just overdoing it. It's crazy.
Gene, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you as always. Our toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. If you want to join us, let's change gears, though, instead of all this COVID talk. How about tech? How about security? How about Donald Trump having his password guessed by a security researcher? According to TechCrunch.com, a Dutch security researcher says he accessed President Trump's @RealDonaldTrump account on Twitter last week by guessing his password. Do you want to take a guess? See if you can guess the Donald Trump password. This guy
You're
got
fired.
We'll get to that one. It wasn't that one, but that was a good guess. Okay, that's a previous Donald Trump password. We'll get to that. You want to take a guess? This guy got it in 5 attempts.
All right.
So he didn't get it the first time
either. I'm going to guess password. What's his
name? Well, that's always a safe guess, right?
That was Panetta's.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, maybe that was it.
There's what are the most popular passwords? So the word password, 12345, right? Like, what are some of the other ones? Their birth date, the person's birth date, or their wife's birth date, or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? What are some other popular, easy to guess?
Phone numbers. Phone number. Like the last
child's name.
Mm-hmm. 4 digits or something like that, depending on if it's a 4 length or a 6 length or whatever. Or reverse it.
Donald Trump's Twitter password.
All right, what is it?
Was MAGA2020 exclamation.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep. That's good.
Guessed it in 5 tries.
That was definitely guessable.
But turns out this guy actually cracked Donald Trump's password more than once in the last 5 years. So we'll tell you about the rest of it here in moments. And the other one was, you're fired.
Wow.
More come up here. You can join us. 855-450-FREE, like freedom. This is Free Talk Live.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
USA Radio News.
Now that the final debate is complete, there will be one last push to grab the undecided voters across America for President Donald Trump and candidate Joe Biden. During his closing remarks, President Trump had this to say about the direction of the country.
The best black unemployment numbers in the history of our country. Hispanic, women, Asian, people with diplomas, with no diplomas, MIT graduates, number one in the class, everybody had the best numbers. And you know what? The other side wanted to get together. They wanted to unify. Success is going to bring us together.
Biden pushed clean energy, but almost got personal and said dignity, respect, character, and decency. Said those haven't been things in the White House for the last 4 years. The president has announced a peace deal between Israel and Sudan. The two countries had been at war for decades, and the president believes there will be more peace in the Middle East in the run-up to the election. This is USA Radio News. Joe Biden hit the campaign trail Friday with the plan to attack the COVID-19 pandemic. He discussed how the president wants to do away with the Affordable Care Act, which would hinder those insured to get a vaccine once they become available.
Under the ACA, insurers are required to cover recommended vaccines for free. So overturning the ACA would mean people have to pay to get the COVID-19 vaccine. That's wrong. Very, very wrong.
Scott Peterson, the man convicted of killing his wife Lacey and her unborn child nearly 18 years ago, was back in the courtroom Friday. Prosecutors have decided to try once again for the death penalty against Peterson that had been overturned by the California Supreme Court. Fox News' Laura Engel explains why the case has returned to the courtroom.
Significant errors in jury selection, but upheld the guilty verdict. And then last week also ordered the reexamination of his conviction based on a motion filed by his appellate lawyer citing alleged prejudicial jury misconduct. Now that issue is over a female juror.
This is USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
This is Free Talk Live. Coming up, we'll talk about licensing grapes, whatever that means. Chris has a story about tech, IP, and grapes coming together, I guess. We'll get into it coming up here. 855-450-FREE. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Nobody.
And Chris. Today, large corporations act as middlemen for our everyday online communications and transactions, and often they work hand-in-hand with governments. In the last few years, these centralized social networks have all launched their own payment networks. Bitcoin and Ethereum have not been scalable enough to compete. The team behind Intercoin spent the last decade creating an open, web-based, decentralized social platform to rival Facebook and Google, and now they can use it to roll out a revolutionary platform, payment platform on top. If decentralized crypto doesn't soon gain mainstream adoption to power everyday payments, it'll be Facebook and WeChat's world, and we'll just live in it. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the internet and in meat space. We think that's important here on Free Talk Live, so we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Incorporated for advertising. If you think freedom is important too, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains, or just be involved and perhaps shape its future. It's intercoin.org. As we continue talking about guessing, I'm not even going to call it cracking his password. It was just guessed. The Donald Trump Twitter password, the Twitter account, where he just tweets constantly all day long. He's always tweeting something. He's been called the Twitter president. Well, it turns out a security expert managed to guess Donald Trump's password in 5 tries. What was it? MAGA2020! Exclamation point. M-A-G-A being in lowercase in this particular case. MAGA2020! Exclamation point. It was Victor Gebers who gets the credit. He's a security researcher at the GDI Foundation and the chairman of the Dutch Institute for Vulnerability Disclosure, which finds and reports security vulnerabilities. So he's what they call, I believe, a white hat hacker. Would you say that's the right term for that? Somebody who finds a security vulnerability and reports it to the company or whoever it is?
Yeah, that'd definitely be a white hat.
Whereas a black hat would exploit it in some way,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he told TechCrunch he guessed the president's account password.
I don't know. When it's Trump, it might be the other way around, where a black hat will warn Trump and a white hat would exploit him. I mean, the guy's the president.
I mean, would you call that self-defense, maybe?
I certainly would.
Yeah.
The account was not protected by two-factor authentication. Now, that's interesting because I had heard a rumor that in order to get the verified checkmark on Twitter, mm-hmm. which they hand out to whatever celebrities they decide deserve them or whatever, that they're supposedly required to put two-factor on, but I guess that's not true.
I mean, there's an exception because this is the president.
Yeah, but Twitter doesn't like him, so like they allow him, they tolerate his posts because obviously it brings them clicks, but ultimately they've been putting some restrictions on his posts, like they'll label them in certain ways. And so anyway, so he guessed it on the fifth attempt. After logging in, he emailed the division of the U.S. The Homeland Security Cyber Unit, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, U.S. CERT, to disclose the security lapse, which TechCrunch has seen. Gever said the president's Twitter password was changed shortly thereafter.
But was it made any more secure?
I don't know. That's a
probably
good question.
Not.
It's the second time Gevers has gained a second time. Gevers, the same researcher, yep. has gained access to Trump's Twitter account.
I'm surprised they didn't arrest.
Is nobody else trying?
I'm half surprised they didn't arrest the guy.
Right?
I've seen people arrested for far less than that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
They're trying to extradite Julian Assange over, that's what their excuse was, over basically helping, who was it?
Chelsea Manning.
Chelsea Manning crack a password.
That's right.
Which was probably less
that was
than,
just like national security or military documents or whatever, whereas this is just Trump's Twitter account. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no reason why they couldn't go after this guy if they wanted to.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Maybe he felt safe because he already did the same thing in 2016. So this was his second time guessing Trump's password. Gevers and two others extracted and cracked Trump's password from the... Okay, he didn't guess it the first time. There was a 2012 LinkedIn breach, apparently. So LinkedIn got hacked. Their database got leaked out. Passwords got leaked. And the researcher took his password from LinkedIn, which was, you're fired. And that was nobody's first guess, by the way, on this one. His catchphrase, and no exclamation, so just the words, you're fired, lowercase altogether.
You know what's funny is he actually did make his password harder to guess, or harder to crack.
Because of the exclamation.
He has numbers, he has letters, and he has other characters, other symbols.
Yeah, it was not that hard, though.
Yeah.
His catchphrase from the TV show The Apprentice, and they found that it led him into his Twitter account. And there's a good chance he's still using that one on other things, right? Like, because a lot of people... Look, I mean...
Yeah, what's he got on his LinkedIn now?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Good question.
Might still be you're fired.
So, Gevers, as he pointed out, said he didn't expect the password to work years later. He, at the time, had reported the breach to local authorities in the Netherlands with suggestions on how Trump could improve his password security. And one of the passwords he suggested at the time... Oh, I see. He actually suggested this password to Donald Trump in 2016. The MAGA 2020 password.
Oh, my
gosh.
Wow. That's
hilarious. He suggested it to him. He said he didn't expect the password would work years later. Oh, and I guess this guy isn't located in the United States.
He might be protected.
Yeah, that helps him from... Of. Well, I mean...
Until the government, the U.S. government starts putting pressure on the foreign government.
Yeah, neither was Assange. So, very interesting stuff. Now, it is worth pointing out here, just as a general statement about password security... Having helped people sign up for, Edge wallets, I've helped hundreds of people sign up for getting cryptocurrency, getting rolling with that, and you'd be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be, you guys wouldn't be surprised in the studio, but some of our listeners might be surprised, at how many people will just straight up say they'll say out loud to me, a total stranger. Now, mind you, you know, I'm a trustworthy guy and everything, but you shouldn't be saying things like, you know, I just use the same password for everything. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that.
I'm sorry, but I thought you were actually going to tell me that they told you the password.
No, but it probably wouldn't be hard to to get them to do that too.
I have to say, I did computer support repair,
right.
You know, work for years and years and years, and I would say that probably like 95% of people would just tell me if they even had a password, they would probably just tell me.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not hard to socially engineer.
It's like you don't even have to ask. Yeah. They're going to tell you.
Here it is.
Yeah. It's written. My password's written down on the desk. Like I can see it even. Like.
Yeah. Okay, I was in a bank. I won't say which one, but I was in a bank and inside the one of the manager's offices.
Right on the desk, written down the password.
It wasn't on the desk. She had to look up her password. In order to do this, she opened the main drawer of her desk, took out a little Post-it note. Got the password off the Post-it note and put it back in her desk.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
So, anyway, the point I wanted to make about this for people out there is if you're still using the same password for everything, you need to stop that now. Because it's not secure. It's like terribly insecure.
I don't know if I would go that far. And only because there's a lot of passwords that don't matter. And there's more sites that you would log into than you could possibly remember passwords.
I agree with you. That's why people do this.
I would say, this is what I would suggest. For things that matter, use a good long password that isn't the same, okay? But for everything else that doesn't matter, use the same password.
I would say that the time has come to get rid of passwords as a security scheme.
Okay, what do you got instead?
A better way to do it would be have each person generate a PGP key, and I'll send you a phrase, and you sign it and send it back to me.
You know, that's going to take more time.
There probably is a better way to do GPG that isn't so insane with QR code or something, but
they're all less secure.
I've never seen it implemented. Well, maybe not. You could make the argument if you're like out in public and there's a camera or something, but it's still got to be better than what people are using now with passwords. And they already have to enter their passwords in public on camera anyway half the time. So what difference does that make?
The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. I think at least for now, until something besides passwords becomes more popular, I like password managers. That's a good midpoint, I think. It's Free Talk Live.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Warning, if you are over the age of 65 and on Medicare Parts A and B, you must listen to this. Studies show that the average Medicare recipient pays more than $5,000 in out-of-pocket medical expenses each year. What is even worse is that sudden health emergencies can cost $75,000 or more and force thousands of unfortunate Americans into extreme debt and even bankruptcy. There is hope. The solution is snapmedicare.com. All it takes is a quick phone call to 800-286-5516 to protect yourself and your finances. Call 800-286-5516. To make sure your Medicare plan includes provisions to cover any gap in your coverage. Whether you have questions about Part A or Part B Medicare, remember and rest easy knowing that your medical expenses are being taken care of with SnapMedicare.com. Call 800-286-5516. You and your loved ones deserve peace of mind, and SnapMedicare.com will help you get it. Call 800-286-5516. That's 800-286-5516.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Honorary Forest Ranger Betty White here, lending a hand to my dear friend Smokey Bear, because for 75 years, he's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But there's a lot more to say. Like, if you park your car on tall, dry grass, the hot exhaust pipe can start a wildfire. So be careful out there. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Talk Live. You can bring up whatever you want here. We got a correction here thanks to our chatter on the Matrix server over. You can go to chat.lrn.fm to join in the fun there in the on-air now room. He calls himself the real... Saying that for whatever reason is hard for me. The real Christopher Cantwell, as he pointed out earlier, he thought it was that when you if you were to violate the food service ordinances, meaning that if you were serving food to people without a restaurant license, as a business or maybe even just as a charity or whatever, if you don't get the government's paperwork, he had said earlier that it was first offense was a misdemeanor, second offense was a felony. Turns out that's not the case. Nobody was correct in his belief that it was actually a felony only if you're a non-human person. Now, that sounds a little strange at first blush, but what they mean by that, it's legalese, and essentially what it means is the word person under the legal structure can include a business. It can include a corporation, for instance. So person can mean like a flesh and blood human, but it can also mean these other legal constructs. So if a non-human person, a corporation, is continuing to serve food after the second offense, the third offense will then be considered a felony.
Now, I'm curious.
But what does that mean? I don't know.
Now, the funny thing is, okay, so this is true, but it's also kind of humorous in the sense that they often redefine words.
Oh, all the time.
What does non-human mean within this context?
Well, they don't use. I was using the term non-human. They don't actually use the term in the.
Term natural person.
Yes, okay. Or any other person was what they described.
Any other person.
Any other person besides a natural person.
What is any other person defined as in this context?
I don't have the definition.
Defined as a corporation because that's the only kind of person that is not a natural person.
Generally, that's true.
Well, unless it's redefined as something
and
else.
I don't have the definition section.
They do that regularly.
If you want to look it up, it is chapter 143A in the revised statutes annotated.
I'll leave that to you guys.
But I thought it would be worth correcting this because he did bring this in here. So the first offense is a violation. The second offense is a misdemeanor, and it doesn't say whether it's Class A or Class B, so I guess they could choose whichever one. And then the third offense is you're guilty of a misdemeanor if you're a natural person, but a felony if you are not a natural person. So that means that if you're going to run a restaurant without a license, because remember, we were in the first hour, if you're just tuning in, we were talking about a restaurateur in New Hampshire who's closed his business now because the government was going to come after him, or at least that's what they said they were going to do. They were going to pull his restaurant license if he didn't start requiring his employees and his customers to wear masks. And so he said, well, you know what, I'm just going to shut down my business until masks are no longer a requirement. So he said, see ya. Closed his doors, put a sign up that said, whatever happened to live free or die. And so my question was, why don't we have one of these business owners just go ahead and run without the license? Come on in. Give me the violation. Let's go to court. In fact, it would actually be nice if it was a Class A misdemeanor, because then you could get it in front of a jury and find out what the jury thinks.
Yeah,
now, finding a jury that doesn't have an opinion about masks.
No,
I don't know.
That could be tricky.
Yeah.
It could be a challenge. However,
but it'd be interesting.
In New Hampshire, you can argue jury nullification. So
that's right.
You have probably a better chance in New Hampshire than you would in a lot of other states.
Anywhere else.
New Hampshire
doesn't have to be a jury that doesn't have an opinion on the issue at hand. Juries are assumed to have an opinion on whether or not murder is a good thing.
True.
And yet they are considered non-biased to serve on a murder jury.
But if they have a preconceived notion that masks should be required, that should be a reason to kick them off a jury, I would think.
Generally, juries are assumed to have a preconceived notion that the law is okay.
That's true.
That's kind of an assumption.
I mean, it is hard to find a good jury that will nullify anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, by no means does...
I wouldn't be holding my breath on that.
I wouldn't either. It would be interesting, though, to actually challenge this stuff. Because most of these business owners are not challenging it. They're not filing a lawsuit. They're not demanding to know, how is this governor's order applicable to me? Even under this system, how is it that this man can just... say all these things, just spurt out all these words, and now all of a sudden they're being treated like laws.
Yeah.
They're not laws.
The problem is our system is, it's irrational. There's no logic to the rule. Like you could be 100% right. Right. 100% right. It's clear as day. And you still only have a 50-50 chance,
or less.
It's a roll of the dice, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it comes to, trials and juries.
But some of these, that's the thing. It's like, this guy is in a position where it sounds like he may have full control over the property, like that he can just close the business down and just wait. And that he's doing okay, maybe he's got enough savings to where
he's paid off.
What I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He said he didn't have any employees, that it was all family members that were working there, so he didn't have to fire anybody. So maybe he's in that kind of unique position. But a lot of these business owners, it's do or die. If they can't get enough business through that door, they're going to close.
Yep.
Well, if you're going to close anyway, why not go to the mat with the state and let them bring the fine? Go to court. Mm. Make a spectacle out of it. And then, do a fundraiser, right? So some of these business owners who've been attacked in other states have raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for their legal defenses, because there's a lot of people like us around who feel inspired.
Yeah.
The average person who doesn't want to have to wear a mask would support a business like this. There would be people who not only would come in to eat at this restaurant, but from afar, people who couldn't come in to eat, would still be giving money to this effort. If he put out a fundraiser and said, I need an attorney, I might be facing a year in jail for, consensually feeding people who wanted to come into my restaurant. Talk about an interesting case.
It is. It is. It's one of those things where, while I think you're right, you can potentially raise a lot of money, there is always that risk that you don't succeed, right?
Sure.
And I think that's unfortunately often.
Is he succeeding now by closing his restaurant?
No, certainly not. But he's also potentially taking a risk.
Yes. And I understand that business owners didn't get into business business to take those sorts of risks, to go up against and fight the state. They want to avoid that kind of stuff.
You really have to be an activist, in order to want to, deal with this kind of stuff. And even then, you probably don't want to deal with it. But, it's something you've taken kind of a responsibility for, I think.
And there's a problem. I mean, I have tried to raise money to actually bring some of these cases. I've tried to get assistance in, renting a place that I could operate on behalf of the church and sell food in, and then if the state comes, actually fight them. But, I haven't gotten any donations or any pledges of assistance on that. So if I had the money to start a business, am I then going to take that money and say, I'm just going to go to war with the state and maybe somebody will come and help me and maybe nobody will come and help me and I'll end up in prison?
Yeah, they're going to war with
when
you.
When I tried to raise money for my defense, I went to court on 5 felonies with a public defender because I couldn't raise anything. So I wouldn't count on any help you're planning on going up against the
state.
You didn't
raise any money?
I think you got some money for the appeal, if I recall.
I got some money for the appeal once I was already in jail.
Yeah.
Great. I was already in jail. I had no defense at my trial. I didn't even have a real lawyer at my trial because nobody cared. So I would not count on anybody to care, and I would not count on anybody to help you.
I would definitely agree with you on that. I mean, I can't believe that nobody donated any money to you.
Yeah, there was almost nothing donated I mean, nowhere near what it would cost to hire a lawyer.
Right. These lawyers cost thousands of dollars, and that's with an easy case. So, and you had 5 different cases, so that's going to be...
Well, it was one case, 5 counts.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you, nobody. You can't expect... I mean, I'm terrible at raising money, and I've got a national radio show. I mean, the libertarian the libertarian movement is not a particularly deep movement when it comes to numbers of people to begin with, and a lot of them don't have a whole lot of money to begin with, and most of them aren't listening to us.
I think you know what it is? I don't think it's a libertarian movement, just the libertarian movement. I think in general, there's people who have a lot of money, and then there's people who don't, and the people who don't, they don't donate. And so you end up raising funds, but it's from a very small group of people.
But in this case, you can raise money from more than libertarians, because there's a lot of people who donated to the lady down in Dallas. Now, obviously, we're not pretty ladies running a salon, so Pretty Blonde is probably going to do better than any of the three of us at fundraising.
Yeah, the question is, does the major media pick you up, and the major media doesn't pick me up?
Yeah, that definitely helps. But if you're doing something like this, it won't just be libertarians who donate. It's everybody who thinks that people need to stand up against this.
Yeah.
Or you can just roll over. More come up.
On a multidimensional probe, the Syscup Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers 2 entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, Syscup's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit BangBooks@Bang.com for more.
Divvy's been a pretty good investment for Free Talk Live. Their ad campaign started in September 2019, and from mid-March to mid-July, the values soared by 10 times. It's not too late. Divvy's new wallet hasn't even released yet, and other things are happening that I can't even say on the radio. If you want to invest and potentially do well, go to DivvyProject.org. I can tell you that FTL is deepening its partnership with the guys from DivvyProject.org. Past performance is not an indication of future profit. DivvyProject.org. D-I-V-I Project.org.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.